Hello, and welcome to Getting an Understanding of Revelatory Wisdom with Revelatory author and instructor, Dr. Audrey Akins. In today's session, we'll give you a taste of how Dr. Audrey Akins extracts the revelatory wisdom found in God's Word and how she uses this wisdom to build the biblical foundation for her revelatory concepts and definitions, which are often found in her teachings and various expositories. Now here's our revelatory author and instructor, Dr. Audrey Akins.
Greetings. Welcome to a revelatory point of power that tonight is called Yoked There to Increase, Not Diminish. I'm bringing this to you from a series I call Strategically Positioned. And I wanted to pull this out to share with you because I think it's spiritually significant for us to understand the positioning that the Lord will always send us into, even if it's a thing where we've been out of order. It's always going to work out for our good. So tonight, you're going to see how the enemy sometimes take these places called there for us and tries to make us feel like we've become his, like we've been cast off or cast down or forsaken by God, and we're unworthy for anything to happen in our lives. And then we have to understand God's position, because we don't always understand that. Whatever word he speaks to us or about us, there's a yoking that comes with that word, whether we believe it or not. And that is a yoking that causes it to accomplish and prosper, regardless of where we walk, or what we suffer, or what we see, or what we don't understand. So I'd like you to take a journey with me back into the life of Jeremiah. And in sharing Jeremiah's plight with you, I think we need to do a little bit of the backstory that goes with Judah. Judah, if you know, was Israel, what Israel became after the 10 tribes of Israel were taken into captivity and lost. They were disbanded, they were dispersed, they no longer were, but it was a result of God having prophesied that that would happen because of their idolatry. And so then we have Judah, and Judah had prophesied to Solomon that it would remain, that he would save one tribe that would not disappear forever because of his promise to David. And so this tribe was Judah, but Judah also was disobedient and rebellious and full of pride because they thought that they were the apple of God's eye. And so the two main reasons for them going into captivity was continued idolatry, their failure to observe the Sabbaths that God set for the land, and for their continually robbing God, failing to faithfully bring their tithes into the storehouses which he strategically positioned about them as spiritual scaffolding that they were to look to when needing his provision. I need you to know that the Lord made sure his people couldn't claim that he permitted anything to come upon him unawares, even in times that seem inopportune. Yet he predestined as appointed times for the enemy to overtake them and to unthinkably take them away. They thought that would never come. That would never happen. but he spoke to six of his prophets. Historically, we will find that these prophets were given a word. They were yoked with a word specifically prophesying to Judah that God would allow Babylon to come in and take them captive. Those six were Moses, Micah, Habakkuk, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. Now, Moses was first. Moses warned that they'd be delivered into the hand of their enemies if they failed to keep the Sabbath. He warned them of that in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus. Micah also prophesied Judah's capture by Babylon, as well as their eventual rescue. You find that in Micah 4 and 10. Habakkuk, we know, had a hard time reconciling the visions that he saw, because he couldn't get it right in his head as to how God could use the Babylonians he knew were godless to discipline his people. But God assured him that the vision of the word he'd spoken to him concerning it all was predestinated. Thus, he had set it for an appointed time of fulfillment, just as he'd said, and that the vision was being hastened towards its expected end of accomplishing as he pleased and prospering in exactly what he sent it to do. And even though the vision seemed to tarry, he was to wait for it, because, oh, it would certainly come. And when it came, it would speak and not lie and not deceive or disappoint. So that yoking of a vision, Habakkuk had to hold on to it. Not only hold on to it, the Lord said, write it on a tablet. Do it plain so that those reading it would run with it when they understood what it is he was saying. Ezekiel famously ate a roll full of prophecies that the Lord spoke to him about Babylon taking away his people Judah. And why did he give him that roll to prophesy? Because it had to become a yoke about his neck in order for him to take it, knowing all that it said about the people and knowing that the people he had to fear because they turn on him. God knowing that he was sending them to who he called a rebellious house. He already knew that they would reject him. He already knew they wouldn't believe his word. But God did it because he wanted them to be without an excuse when they ended up in captivity. Isaiah prophesied during the reign of King Hezekiah. Why? Because King Hezekiah, in his pride, allowed a troop of ambassadors from Babylon to come into Jerusalem. And in his pride, he showed him all the treasures of Jerusalem, all the treasures of Solomon's temple, showing off what he had. And because of what he had that God had given him charge over, God sent the word by Isaiah saying that the same Babylonians he dared to show off his treasures to would come in and take them and his people and him away into captivity. He became even more specific than that. Isaiah's prophecies were awesome because God also showed him Daniel's capture. He showed him Cyrus, named Cyrus, as a Persian king who wouldn't be born until 100 years later, that he would then use to restore Judah, to cause the rebuilding of Judah's temples, and ultimately showed him also Babylon's demise. So the Lord will yoke you with a word, And that word can often seem like it holds such suffering, such unbelievable stuff we have to go through, yet we need to understand that in that word, in that God strategically positioning us to hold our course in that word and allow him to even chastise us because he loves us, it's in that that we have power, because there we will increase as we stick and stay, rather than be diminished as the enemy thinks we will. You'll never know that unless you learn to trust God in the things that he speaks into your spirit. Whether it's to go through an operation, whether it's to yield yourself to some job, some seeming dictator on your job, or whatever it is that you're going through. It doesn't have to be spiritual, quote unquote. It could be things you go through in your everyday life. And yet you need to understand, if you're his, then your life is also governed by him. And whatever we go through, God will ensure that if you yield to him, you will become increased there rather than diminished. Now, Jeremiah was the sixth prophet. And as that sixth prophet, he prophesied to Judah for 40 years. But he's also the prophet that God called from his youth. And when he called him, Jeremiah couldn't understand why he called him. And so he said, you know, I'm just a child. And the Lord said, no, you don't understand. Before you were even in your mother's womb, I knew you. You're mine, and I'm going to send you, and I'm going to send you as a prophet that's not only going to build up but tear down, that's not only going to prophesy prosperity, but prophesy captivity. And he said, and the way I'm going to do that is, I'm going to take these words that I'm speaking to you that you can't receive, and I'm going to put them in your mouth. And then it's going to cause you to change the way you see. And he did that. He took that word and he put it in Jeremiah's mouth. And that yoked Jeremiah because it changed his whole perception, his whole perspective of God's word. And so as he saw it, then God said, now, what do you see, Jeremiah? And he began to talk about things that were impossible, how he saw a branch budding. And God said, yes, now you've seen well. And because you have, I will hasten my word to perform it. Well, the problem with that is he went and he took that word to Judah, took that word to the kings, took that word to the elders, took that word that God gave him. He was faithful, took it even to in light of the prophesiers they had, the false prophets they had that would contradict everything that he came to say, the Lord said. And God used Jeremiah uniquely. He was dramatic in the things that he had Jeremiah to do. You know, he acted out the things that God had for it, Judah to go through. And in doing that and being faithful to do that, Jeremiah found it seemed to avail nothing because the people still didn't receive it. Not only did they not receive it, the word tells us that they beat him. They threw him down in muddy cisterns. They imprisoned him. They mocked him. They held him in such derision that it so messed him up, he became angry. But he became angry with God. Why? Because it seemed like the word God had given him had so yoked him with, had become so heavy about his neck because it didn't seem to be coming to pass. It seemed like he had given him a word that was lying, that was tarrying, that couldn't possibly come to pass because he was being made to feel like a utter fool. Sometimes believing in God's word and the things we have to walk out in the process can make you feel like that. If you're not careful, the world will make you feel like that, because the world likes to mock the great works that God has given us to do, to hold our course in, and to believe him for the impossible. But you've got to so know God and so choose to trust him, despite what you feel, what you hear, what you see, what people put on you, which is their own unbelief, but they'll put it on you until you're bent over with the burden of that yoke of word that God has given you to believe for, where it ought not to be that way, because God's word is not a heavy burden. God's yoke is not meant to be a heavy burden. That's why he wants us to walk with it. That's why he wants us to believe us. He wants us to believe him, even when it seems impossible, because he's already shown us in so many areas of our lives, yet we have such a short attention span when it comes to spiritual things. So I need you to understand something. There came a point in Jeremiah's life, and Jeremiah 27 through 9 deals with this, when he decided, you know what, God, I'm done. I'm through. Enough is enough. I have been faithful. I have carried the word. I have told them what you said. I've even dramatized it all for you. And I did it because you proved to me that you're stronger than I am. You prevailed over me. You made me carry this yoke. I even ate the roll that you gave me, even though it was bitter. And yet, and still, I'm scorned, treated with disdain, ridicule, and held in contempt, because I obediently spoke what you put in my mouth. And now I've made up my mind, and I've said it in my heart. I refuse to make mention of your word anymore. I refuse to speak your name or in your name anymore. But you know what? That didn't work for Jeremiah, because it didn't work for God. Why? Because when he said that, that word became in his heart like a burning fire. A fire that he couldn't come past. A fire that he couldn't hold back. Why? Because God strategically positioned it to be so. So it was like shut up in his bones. And he found that he wore his own self out, being determined not to speak it again. And that's when God wisely made him realize, I can't be diminished to hold it back there. So I give. What would you have me do, Lord? Seems like it's impossible, but if you want me to prophesy on, then I guess that's what I'll do. What Jeremiah didn't realize, at that very time when he finally decided, okay, God, I'll keep on prophesying, the word that he had spoken about Babylon had already begun coming to pass. It had already begun to accomplish and to prosper. But back in that day, word didn't carry as fast. And so he didn't realize that Babylon had already come in. That Babylon had already snatched up Daniel and all the sons of Judah. Didn't realize that all that he had spoken had already begun taking. See, our time is not God's. We keep expecting, because he said, "Okay, now now that you see it, and it, I'm going to hasten it to, you know, now." That now in God is not in a half hour. It's not necessarily in a year. It's not necessarily in a decade. It may take 20 years, but our time is not his time. What you have to know, if God said it, then that word cannot go out and come back to him void. But it must what? Accomplish and prosper. what he sent it unto, accomplish what he pleases, and prosper in that which he sent it unto. So the heaviness of that same word became lighter once he realized, oh my God, it has come to pass. And so we find that God had him write a letter to Judah while they were in this captivity that they thought would never come. And he was able to do so because God showed him that my yoke is really easy. And that burden you feel it is light. I need you to understand that same word, that same yoking of the word continued on even after Jeremiah. We're going to go back to his letter, but I need you to understand something. Even after Jeremiah's time was done, that word still kept on working. It worked to raise up Ezra. It worked to raise up Nehemiah. All for that same great work that God allowed them to go into captivity for. What great work was that? That the enemy would see that when he brought them out, it would be the same way that as when he brought them out originally from Egypt with a high hand. God always brings us out of whatever that there is, if we're his, with a high hand. And that high hand makes the enemy stand back flabbergasted as to how it is that God used us to glorify himself when he thought we were done. Back in Egypt, the enemy used rigor to try to knock out God's people. Same as what they did with Judah in Babylon. And yet and still, God was able to raise up Ezra and then Nehemiah to rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So it is that he continued on through the Old Testament to show that that word is ever working, that yoking of the word is really powerful, and that yoking of the word will always cause us to be increased and not decreased, right? God had Jeremiah write that letter and say to them, listen, while you're there, there's some things that you need to do. You need to build you some houses while you're there and dwell in them. He said, plant you some gardens and eat the fruit that they produce. Why? Because you don't understand what 70 years in captivity is going to cost you there. He said, and while you're at it, take wives, have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they can bear sons and daughters while you're there. And do that so that you may be increased there and not diminished. Increased there and not diminished. I'd like to take time to just define for you what that being increased there, not diminished, means. Be increased there is Rabbah Sham. That signifies will not fail there, but will be filled with the quiet confidence of hope that experiences growth and being strengthened in still knowing his abundance as faith and grace and favor remain sufficient for us, wherever we are. The revelatory comes in knowing the Lord, thus recognizing that strength we gain in doing so. It's to believe the truth of his instruction. For when he says, remain where I am, strategically positioned you, we're to do so regardless where that there is. Do it despite the dread of what we might have to suffer as we go, because he will empower us despite our many adversaries lurking to be increased, not diminished. Not diminished is alma'at. That signifies in being obedient to remain there during that kairos, we shall not be, here it is, reduced, lessened, weakened, thus diminished in any way by anything we encounter or in any form of abuse we're made to suffer while there. Let me say it again. Not diminished means you shall not be reduced, lessened, weakened, thus diminished in any way by anything encountered in any form of abuse you're made to suffer while there. Why? Because God is the one that strategically positioned you there. So he's the one that is keeping you. And while we're going through his word that he spoke in that shaping, in that permitting, in that allowing that thing to be in our life, it is accomplishing and prospering even when we don't see it working. Finally, let me share this with you, because that yoking transliterates over into what Jesus spoke in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. What did he say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and feel heavy laden and overburdened by it, for I will give you rest. I will ease, relieve, refresh your souls. All you have to do is take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle, I am meek, I am lowly of heart. And you'll find you've been strategically positioned again. Where? In what I've predestinated for you. Rest and relief and ease and the blessed quiet of my perfect peace, which you find only in me. Therefore, it's good, it's sufficient to cause you to be increased in whatever there you've got to labor in needing to press on through. How are you increased? Because if you believe in me, believe also in my Father. He and I are one. And as he and I are one, his yoking makes you one with us and lifts you up to that place of increase, no matter what you suffer in the flesh. I want to say God bless you. I pray that, Lord, that word ministers to your spirit in the same way it ministered to me in receiving it.
We hope you enjoyed this session. For as we are reminded in Proverbs 4 and 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get an understanding. For more information or to explore other resources available from Dr. Audrey Akins, including podcasts, books, and more, log on to the website at www.draudreyakinsministries.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud. Until next time, be encouraged to continue to pursue the revelatory wisdom found in God's Word. This segment is a product of Whole Man Life Trainers, LLC, and is produced by Creative Impact, LLC, with all rights reserved.